Hey, everybody. Welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups for this season preview of Amazing Race Canada Season 6, Heroes Edition. The Heroes Edition is very, very important. According to every bit of the scant literature we have received about this season, with the premiere upon us, it will be happening next week. I thought it was a good time to get together with my usual Amazing Race Canada co-host, Mr. Dan Heaton, and then a hero comes along to tell you all about this cast of heroes for this season 6 of Amazing Race Canada. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great. You know, I mean, I'm a parent. You're a parent. So we're heroes. That's what John just told me when I was watching his video. But I'm feeling good about Canada. You know, I saw the great Canadian band Sloan last Friday. I'm all about Canada and all about heroes and a lot of military people. So this is going to be fun. I'm liking it.
Yeah. Happy Canada Day, by the way. As July 1st is Canada Day, and I'm sure all of Canada is hyped to celebrate it because after Canada Day comes the premiere of Amazing Race Canada. So if you're around July 3rd, that's when this premiere is going to drop, and hopefully we'll have this preview to you a little bit early so you can start to get to know the teams, as we are also starting to get to know the teams. Because Dan, a thing that I noticed is they're really being quite cagey about everything that's happening this season. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know. I wonder if it has something to do with, because you have some things on the videos, some things on the bios, which calling them a bio is a little bit of a stretch. They put things on Instagram. They're putting stuff on Facebook. Maybe they just want us to really go to all these different places in order to find the info, or they just like the mystery. This is sort of strange. I don't know. I hope it doesn't mean that there's anything amiss with the season, but hopefully they haven't let me down yet.
Something amiss or something really amazing that they feel like they have to hide.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know because I look at this cast, you know, the Heroes Edition idea. The show has always kind of been more on the positive side. Like, there's a little conflict here and there, but it's more on the, we feel great about Canada. Canada's amazing. It's a diverse, cool place. We want to tell you about this. And this season seems to really be leaning into that, which is okay. But Jess, are the people going to be too nice? Are we going to see conflict? Or is everyone going to be concerned with this Heroes idea? Are they like Rupert on Survivor? They really want to be a hero, so they have to act that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting because this is coming on the heels of an Amazing Race US season where the theme was champions and everyone was a champion. And it was really easy to lean into that however you wanted to define champion, because you could say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win, or, you know, I play my game with honor and I follow the rules. And we saw a really great variety, I think, of personalities that lived up to that champion's moniker. And here, I think there's so much baggage on heroes. It's really going to be hard for teams to lean into that title while also doing what they think is necessary. And I do note, though, that heroes is kind of a broad brush that they are painting people with, because there are a lot of different definitions for hero here. It's not all people that rushed into burning buildings, although we do have one of those.
Yeah, it's interesting because while all the people here have done something really cool or something amazing, or, you know, not to overuse that phrase, but they have interesting stories. And I think that's as much as like heroes. You have some that are volunteers that have started nonprofits, but then you have others that are cheerleaders. And I mean, they've also done some great programs about bullying, so I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying there's a wide range of people, which is good. You don't really want a cast of all first responders or something like that, because it would be dull. But it does make me wonder early on, especially, I mean, hopefully the show will not overdo the confessionals and statements or everything having to do with how heroic they are once we kind of get through that premiere.
Well, I would not put it past them to hammer this home every single second, because that's kind of how Amazing Race Canada rolls. Every single confessional, and I know they learned this from their cousins in the U.S., the confessional about, you know, as a plumber, we are always fixing broken pipes, and I really felt like this informed my ability to go bungee jumping, and having to tie everything back to like what your thematic moniker is. That's a very Amazing Racey thing to do. So, you know, I'm hoping they don't either, but I'm not going to be surprised when they do it all the time.
Right. And so much of it, too, is based on how much we like these people, because if there's a lot of likable teams, which there seem to be, I mean, this does not seem to be a dull cast at all. But if the good teams that we like do well and move forward, as you've seen with the best seasons of any Amazing Race, we're going to enjoy it regardless of the theme. I just, you know, I get a little nervous because we haven't really had themes like we've done it. Like you said, with the U.S., you had the social media season and the competitor season and the singles. There's been a lot recently. So it's kind of going with that trend. And especially on other reality shows like Survivor, they totally lean into it. But it's just interesting with the Amazing Race now that even when they cast this, they were having people get nominated. And it was kind of, they didn't just get this group together and then say, oh, they're all heroes. We figured it out. This was a planned thing before they even cast the season.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the main difference, which is this is the next question I want to bring to discussion. How do we think this is going to compare to how this experience rolled out when the Survivor cast some heroes in their Heroes, Healers, Hustlers season? And I think to your point, it really is a little bit of a different scenario because you have only one thing and everybody is that thing.
Right. Yeah, that's the big difference, and especially with the Survivor comparison. I mean, there were people that had done heroic things, but like Jeff Probst has talked about, they get the group and then they go, what's the theme? This group likes to hustle, and they're kind of, which is hard to do. I mean, here they can design basically, plus with the Amazing Race, it's a little different than Survivor. They can design the course to spotlight areas, locations where heroic things have happened. So they can even go beyond just the cast and make this whole season, which I suspect they will, more about heroes in Canada. And part of me thinks, given current world events and how things are going, seeing things like that might be kind of inspiring. So I don't want to be too cynical. I just hope we have that and a really good season too.
Yeah. If any country's version of The Amazing Race can do it, it's Canada, because they've always leaned very heavily on the being proud of where they're from in a way that, again, the U.S. really can't do just because of who the U.S. is and who Canada is. And it's always been something I envy about Amazing Race Canada, is the way they can be so kind of nakedly patriotic without feeling like they're pandering to somebody.
Right. Yeah. Like John can say, make Canada proud. Now, if you flip that and Phil says, make America proud, it kind of be like, oh, well, I don't know about that, you know, but when John also has that enthusiasm as the Olympian and everything, where you think, yeah, he believes that, you know, he's got it. So I think that helps a lot, too. And I think that part of the show is really going to be highlighted here, especially given, you know, who's in the cast and especially certain members of the cast that really fit that mold.
I think some people will surprise us with everybody kind of having this hero mantle to live up to. I think some people will exceed our expectations and some people will probably kind of fizzle out and maybe not seem quite so heroic by the end of it.
Yeah. And especially if they still, I assume, will have things like U-turns and other kind of twists, that's going to be interesting because, I mean, I don't think anyone here, well, most people here will probably not go, oh, I am heroic, I do not U-turn. If we see a lot of that, you're going to see some teams that are going to go out saying, well, we went out as heroes. So that'll be an interesting part of it, too, where if teams are smart and know how to kind of work the system, you could have teams that are willing to really play and want the money more maybe than a reputation to really do well. But that can always backfire if the other heroes decide they don't like that team because they're playing unfairly.
I cannot imagine there arising a scenario where there's a team that everybody piles on. It's just not in the spirit of Canada. Like, there's not going to be a Vank and Ashton in this season. I mean, we can maybe throw around ideas of who we think would be most likely to be Vank and Ashton if we had one, but there's a little bit of friction sometimes between these teams, but I just don't see this bunch of people kind of piling onto one team and deciding as a group that they're going to U-turn that team.
Right. And the show doesn't really encourage that either. So I think you kind of, if the show is so like, this is a positive show, we're going to have this theme and this tone, people are going to go by that. So I think you're right. The odds, the worst thing someone will do, they'll do a U-turn, someone gets mad. But you also see teams in Canada seem to take it better, which I think that maybe fits with the overall positive theme of the way that they just run the show, which I do enjoy. So I don't mean to complain too strongly. I think, like both of us are kind of saying, because we have this theme, it's a little, actually in a weird way, a little more of a gray area on how this is actually going to play out.
Yeah, I think it's potentially going to be very exciting. And, you know, I always live for the, you know, putting somebody's face up on the U-turn board and being like, sorry.
Yeah, and I think we'll definitely see. And the people come up and they're like, yeah, they're just playing the game. You know, we're sorry that they U-turned us and we're sorry that we, you know, have to do this. But no, I mean, most of the time you do kind of see that teams just kind of brush it off. And a lot of times they don't end up out. So I just hope we have a fun season. I'm excited to see it. It's a pretty young cast. I saw, you know, the average age is 31.45, not to be too exact.
Thanks for doing the math on that one.
I did not do that off the top of my head. There was a small spreadsheet, but
nerd.
Well, you know, this is why I'm on the show. It's not for my amazing personality, but ages 22 to 49, we have three people that are in the upper 40s, but 17 are 40 and under and 12 under 30. I know that's a lot of information, but the general thought is this seems to be a pretty young cast. They overall seem to be physically fit. So I suspect that there will be some challenging tasks based on that. I mean, this doesn't look like the beefiest season we've ever seen. But in general, I think most of the teams will do pretty well athletically.
Yeah, I think, and we'll get to this as we start to talk about the individual teams, but I think there's a lot of surprising athleticism here. Like, there's nobody that jumps out at us. Like, I think in previous seasons, we've looked at like a Gino and Jesse and said, oh, yeah, these guys are going to just run over everybody else. And they kind of do. But I think there's a lot of teams here that potentially have some secret wells of athletic talent that, you know, it's not, they're not necessarily presenting as gym rats, but they will certainly shock us with their acumen.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you've seen that in several seasons. You had Natalie and Megan and Stephanie and Kristen. Several seasons were teams that were just stronger, really were able to do so well. We didn't see it as much totally last season where it was more consistent, but it's hard to say what's going to happen this time because I don't know. I mean, they're also on the flip side, there is no team wearing suits this year that obviously look like, I love them, but, you know, obviously we're the first boot and we were correct. I see a few teams that I think maybe could be the first ones out, but there's not as much of an obvious tiering here. There may be a like three tiers of teams for me, but I could easily see almost any team jumping pretty far up or down. And that's why when we go to pick our teams, I will, of course, do terribly.
Well, Dan, I think conversely, I don't think there's one team here. And I think the past three seasons in a row, if you'll recall, I correctly picked the winner. And I just looked at one team and said, obviously, these people are much, much better than all of these other teams. And I turned out to be right three seasons in a row. And Amazing Race Canada has cottoned on to this. And there's no clear winner pick for me this season. I had to really think hard about who I wanted to rank in that way. And I think you're right. There's kind of three tiers, but it's much muddier. Like, I'm not going to be surprised if somebody from our quote unquote bottom tier ends up going a really long way and shocking us with how well they do. I think any of these teams could potentially be that team. Whereas, you know, last season, there was one team we knew was clearly not going to make it very far.
But yeah, it'll be fun. I'm curious to see how you picked because I keep going back and forth. I rank them all, but I'm not 100% sure I'm even going to pick them in that order because I keep kind of thinking, well, I don't know. That team is you don't see that way. And I don't mean to overstate the point, but that's exciting because the last thing we want is to look and go, that's the top three. And we haven't exactly picked them, but the teams that were near the top, I mean, you picked the winner last season. I also pinpointed Team Giver, and they were very close. And one last thing, I don't see a team that's like on that level either of like gimmicky, loud craziness here either. So we're all over the map here. We don't have we have a few standard Amazing Race types, but not as much as I think we normally do.
Yeah, well, and it's funny, in some ways that's true. And in other ways, I'm looking at this cast and I'm like, did they rent a bunch of people from Amazing Race US casting? Because some of these teams are very, very Amazing Race US-y in a way that I did not expect from Canada.
Yeah, there is actually one team in particular that I feel like is really similar to a team we saw last season on US, but I'll talk about that when we get to them. So do you think, are we ready to go through these teams?
I think we're ready. And Dan, because I believe I picked the winner last season, I think you're going to be going first in every draft we do for the rest of our lives.
Hey, I will say that I did pick Steph and Kristen and drafted them. Of course, you also picked them to win two seasons ago. So I was not that far off that time. I have to like stay with that because the other seasons, oh boy, it was not good.
Yeah, I think it was unfair of me to not point out that we both picked Steph and Kristen and we were both right.
Season three was my low point. I think I'm getting a little better, but all right. Well, we don't need to go through all of our drafts because I'm not sure that's really what people want to hear. So we will stick to this one. So here we go. First pick. Now I'm going to go by the Jess rule here, and I don't mean to pick on this team. The Jess rule is typically to pick the team that seems kind of boring. And I mean this in the most endearing way possible, but a team that seems athletic, kind of laid back, a little boring, very consistent. So with that in mind, I am going to pick this time. I'm not going, you know, I like to pick my favorites and I like to pick the goofy teams. This time I'm focusing. I'm picking Courtney and Adam, the engaged first responders.
Son of a gun. This was my number one pick too, Dan. So congratulations to you. This was the team I finally concluded. I think these guys are going to win it.
Me too.
The team Code Red.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, in some seasons you would have five teams like this, but they really kind of stand out to me a little more than a lot of the other teams. And it's not because, like, I wasn't like falling asleep. We've had some videos or things where I'm like falling asleep and I don't want to make it seem we're on that level. It's just I look at them and they seem they're an engaged. He's a first responder. He's like he's a, you know, firefighter. She's a nurse. They have that kind of, you know, I hate to say perfect couple, but that like really put together. Nice people, positive attitude. They talk a lot about having empathy and about, you know, that they're doing well. And they, you know, she even said, we want to be humorous. Okay. That doesn't really, you know, that's fine. That's good. They may be fun. And, you know, I've been wrong before. There have been teams that I thought would be boring, like, or even not the funniest, like your Julian Lowell or even Joel, who were like some of the funniest people we've ever had. So Courtney and Adam, please let me know this, but this team's also 28 and 29. They're a little bit older than some of the teams. They're in shape and they just seem like that kind of steady team that they're not as concerned about the cameras or about proving anything. They're just going to come out and they're going to go third place, second place, third place, you know, on and on. And then all of a sudden they're going to be there at the end and they're going to win. And is there something I'm missing? Am I incorrect?
So you're saying they have kind of Joey and Kelsey upside.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Maybe they'll win some legs, but I can see this as a team that isn't as focused on winning legs either. I mean, I may be wrong, but you have these teams where somebody's like, I like to be in control. And that kind of person is going to push to try and win legs. I can see this team as being, they're going to get along well with people. You know, he looks like a tree. I mean, he's one of the, there's a lot of strong athletic people, but he may be like at least probably the strongest. And he's a first responder and nothing against her. She also seems to be in shape, you know, tiny mite as they call it. But I don't know. I just look at this team and nothing jumps out as being super like a negative, and they just are kind of there. And we see this team a lot, and this team often wins. And I mean, you know, they met when she was pouring drinks and he was being auctioned off for charity. I mean, that's a fun story, I guess. You know, it's just, I don't know. To me, they're on the boring side.
Yeah, they really were reaching to find interesting things to say about this team in all of their content. And they tried a little bit harder than some of these other teams. And I think it shows in that story of their meet cute. And then they are one of the few teams that actually admits to having any kind of fears or hangups, which I noted. She says she has a heights thing and he doesn't like open water. And they said the words adapt and overcome like 53 times.
Yeah. You know, also I noticed that she, I believe it's her, is related to Big Brother Canada 4 runner up.
Yes.
Kelsey Faith. So that's an interesting connection.
Yeah. She even made an appearance on that season when they had a loved ones challenge, apparently. Dan and I are not the biggest Big Brother aficionados, but it is worth noting. And that kind of, I believe this was a team that was nominated, but it certainly couldn't hurt that they have a little bit of reality show in their family tree.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because you'd think that whatever it is in your genes to kind of want to be on a reality show and do well, because, you know, I did not watch Big Brother Canada 4, but, you know, Kelsey was a runner up. So that generally, I think, is a good thing. So that's something else to note about them. They just kind of look like a team that's going to win. Now, there are a few other teams that also look that way, but I think it's a safe bet they'll at least make the top five.
Yeah, I can't see these people being out early. Like, there are teams where you look at them and you say, oh, they're very athletic, I think they're going to go pretty far. But there's always that one team that looks like they're going to do really well on paper, and then they flame out really early. That's not this team. This team is being set up to, like, I almost feel like there's a winner's edit on them already.
Just the pregame videos already had a winner's edit. Yeah, because really, if you want to say hero, it's really easy to sell the idea that a first responder and even a nurse as a hero, that is not a stretch. This is not one of the, this is almost like the season zones in on, you know, first responders and Olympians. It's kind of the thing.
I mean, in the boardroom, they were sitting around, like, throwing around season ideas, and they said, you need a team of first responders. We need a guy that runs into burning buildings. We need a woman who can perform a tracheotomy in the middle of the Trans-Canada Highway. And you know that that was the vision they had for the whole season. It was just a matter of finding Barbie and Ken to satisfy that vision and then fill in the rest of the season around them. And so they are here. It really seems kind of predestined. This is the strongest pick on the board, Dan. You made the right call. These guys are going to win.
Well, I've learned from the best. You know, it took me three seasons, but I'm starting to figure out how to actually make picks, which means they will be the first ones out. But all right, Jess, you get two picks now.
Oh, boy. Yes. All right. With my next pick, I'm going to pick the second most boring team on the board. The ones that you look at and you kind of think they are definitely the strongest team out there. And again, CTV was giving us nothing to work with this season. Like, we got bios that are maybe three or four questions that got answered. And I got to give props to Reality Fan Forum. We were able to, they have some spoiler free contestant threads where they, brave souls at RFF were corralling all of the information. So we were able to kind of go back to that and use it for our reference. And so we had a little more to work with than just what was on the website, because they were giving us little sprinkles of things throughout social media and whatnot. And it's still not very much to go on, but based on what I've seen, I think here's another team that I think has potential to go very far. Certainly won't be the first team out. I'm going to go with the friends and coaches, Dylan and Kwame.
Oh, interesting. Now, that's a good pick. I thought you were leaning a different way, but I did have them. I think I had them like a third. I mean, they're definitely in that top tier. I mean, relating, do you have these guys that are, you know, football players and they coach youth and, you know, one of two teams that are connected to the Toronto Argonauts, interesting enough. But I look at these guys, yeah, if you're just going to look at athleticism and strength and those guys and competitiveness, I think this team is definitely going to be up there. That's a solid pick. Now, I'm interested, you know, I didn't find them as boring, but again, there is nothing in that video from them that really gave me much of anything. So I'm curious, you know, what really stuck out for you that made them above the others?
Well, I was noting, I think Kwame's pro sports background is something that you really can't underestimate. And even though Amazing Race US has pro athlete teams all the time that just flame out spectacularly, I think the fact that they've had a lot of experience together, they have a very strong bond, they both have competitive athleticism in their past. And then you've got one guy who's really, like, he's competed at the most elite level. I think that gives him a competitive edge. I think they seem like they get along very well. Dylan says in particular that Kwame is the most charismatic person he's ever met. He just brings people into his orbit, which is a skill that I think is underestimated a lot on the race. So I think that's something that's going to be very helpful when you have one of those tasks where you have to sell things to people, or you have to enlist the support of the locals, like whether you're doing a dancing challenge or whatever. And I think I got little sprinkles of humor in there. Like, And actually, I don't know if this is actual humor, if this is intentionally funny or unintentionally funny, but there's a point where they ask everybody to give their teammate a superhero name. And the only thing Kwame can think of for Dylan is Dill Pickle, which is possibly the worst superhero name ever. I guess he's going to defeat people with the power of vinegar. So I thought that maybe hints at these might be guys that sort of carry the season narratively. On the other hand, we could just be looking at another Nick and Matt.
Yeah, it's hard to say because they did list their team they are most like. Wait for it. Gino and Jesse. Yes. But I will give them credit for not picking a team from season 5. So this is an improvement over most other teams. So they watched a few seasons back. So you mentioned Dill Pickle, but you know, I did see on one of the bios that Dylan has several other nicknames. So our big question this season is, do we call him Lil Dill or Big Dill? That is his nicknames in there. Those are the two options. I don't know if I want to choose either one, actually.
It kind of runs the gamut. I guess he's got all his bases covered, depending on who he's talking to.
Yeah, it's no. And I think these guys, what I liked about them, one, I do think they're going to be funnier. I have this feeling they may be like, especially Kwame, may have this like dry humor where they're not going to be like loud. But I can see they both have kind of this like quiet confidence about them where they're just going to, I feel like some of the other teams are going to be freaking out about whatever they're doing. And these guys, they're going to be like, oh, we got that. We're good. And that can get you a long way. And also can make you really endearing. So that's where I think they could, like you said, they could be the narrators that kind of stand off to the side and talk about things like they don't really can't believe what's happening right now, but they're cool. They're going to keep doing well.
I think being coaches, they have to be motivated and they have to be able to motivate each other. And I think they have a lot of experience with that. And I think if you're coaching, you kind of have to be cool under pressure. So all of those things together add up to having the toolbox to do very well on the show. And, you know, anything can happen. This could be one of those teams that kind of hits an obstacle on like the fourth leg and goes out because they get U-turned or something ridiculous like that. Because honestly, if I was looking at this playing field and I had a U-turn to use up, I'd probably use it on these guys.
Right, because once they start talking to people and they say, oh, you're involved with the Argonauts and everything and you played football, teams are going to be like, oh gosh. And there's two of them. So it's, you know, it's just if they come out strong, you're right. They could be up there. And the benefit is that if they're super nice. But again, I don't know how much that matters with the U-turn, but I think they're a team. In a weird way, I feel like this team has a huge range of possibilities where they could end up winning the season. But I don't feel like it's a guarantee that they're going to be one of those teams that just kind of hangs out. Like you said, we've seen this with other sports teams, and this is a little different than like your NBA team or something. I mean, these guys look to be, it's a different kind of athletic ability. They're a little younger. They're 34 and 28. So they'll probably be fine. It's just a question of what's going to happen as it gets tougher and teams start, I wouldn't say getting dirty, but start really looking at who's around.
Are you saying when they stop being polite and start getting real?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, it's a true story. It's very true.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm curious if you're going to knock out the other team that I was thinking about here.
You know, it's down to two teams right here for me. And I think I'm going to go with the team that I think is the team you think I'm going to pick. Because, you know, it's like you said, you got to look at the field and maybe pick the team that seems the most solidly boring, because that team is probably not going to bring you a lot of drama and they're probably going to have like a good all around skill set. And so I'm going to go with Mountie siblings, Taylor and Courtney.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's a solid pick, too. I had them, I think, in my top 4 or 5, but they seem like they're going to be fun. You know, I like it that I assume they are not going to run the race in their Mountie outfits. So we're not going to have another, you know, mortician type experience. But I don't know. They seem pretty athletic and they seem like a kind of team that's going to take it seriously and try to win. I think they actually are one of the teams that may not take the hero thing as seriously as some of the other teams. But I'm curious to get your thoughts based on your pick.
Well, right off the bat, I thought, am I looking at Andrea and Adam again from last season? Because it's like you have these two brunette siblings that seem like they have a very close bond, and you go into the same profession as your father and your grandfather and your great grandfather. That's a pretty tight bond you got there. And I think it's worth noting, though, that this Mountie angle, these are not the first Mounties we have had on the show, and it's just a matter of what the show decides to play up. I think we've had actually somebody in law enforcement every single season of Amazing Race Canada. It's just a matter of what they decide people are, like, what is your label? What box are we going to put you in? And this one, of course, it fits the theme to have them be Mounties, but I think every season has like 8 Mounties, so I don't know that that's necessarily going to give them a unique edge.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because the one thing I think too, you mentioned, they also mentioned Adam and Andrea as the team, which is understandable, but I look at them as also having an interesting mix because they talk about how Courtney is kind of the type A and she's a little bossy. She's the older sister. He's kind of the laid back. I mean, he's only 2 years younger, but the laid back younger brother who's, you know, just real friendly to people and gets along very well. And you've seen teams that have that combination, especially when they're not a couple, do very well because they're able to kind of balance each other out very well and just kind of have fun with it. I think, you know, their walk-on song is Back in Black by AC/DC. You know, that's so that's a little, you know, it doesn't seem as heroic, I guess, but their motto is no crybabies. I hate to just read the bio, but like you said, we don't have that much info. So I end up just reading what I know. But they just seem like a solid athletic team. I'm not sure they'll win, but I could see, again, they're one of those teams that I think is just going to, they're going to be fun too. I have a feeling that I would not put them in the boring category.
Yeah, I could definitely see them going pretty far. Like, I could see them being finalists very easily. And I think it's also worth noting this team, like the other Courtney and Adam, admitted to some fears that I think are worth noting. Like, he says he has a water thing and she has a thing about bugs. So they are self-aware enough that they will be able to address those weaknesses. And you have some teams that don't really admit to being afraid of anything or don't really admit to having weaknesses. And I think that might end up hurting them along the line. And I think this seems like a team that would have thought about these things and strategized for them, and they'll be ready to face whatever gets thrown at.
Right. Because when you have roadblocks that come up, you know, you have these teams in the past who are on the first roadblock, they have to dive into a pool and they pick the person that's afraid of water and they're standing outside of a diving board and you're like, what are you doing? This doesn't seem to be that way now. So unless they get stuck where they have to put their head in a thing of bugs or something, they'll probably be, I don't think they'll bring that back 2 years in a row, but you would think that they will avoid the obvious mistakes that teams make usually in the first two leg or two when teams are like, you know, just so jacked up and have adrenaline for being on the show that they just put the person with the fear of heights to do the skydiving or whatever. I think they'll be smart enough and they're going to take it seriously. And like I said, I don't see this as a team that's, I don't mean to overstate it. I mean, they obviously take their role as in policing very seriously, but I didn't get the sense from their videos that they were just kept talking about how heroic they were. It seemed like they were more excited about doing the race, which is important.
Yeah, you really need to love being there. And I think I got to point out, if your specific phobia is being trapped in a box while bugs crawl on your face, this is the year that you should have applied for Amazing Race Canada, because there's no way they're going to do that 2 years in a row. Like, you see that? It's like, oh, they already knocked that one out. Whatever they do this year is going to be totally different. I'm fine. Bring it on.
Yeah, no, it's we'll say that and it'll be in the first episode. But now every season you should worry about having to memorize long lines of dialogue and then recite it while carrying a tray of food. That's something I think I would always struggle with. The team should be ready for. But the bugs, I think they're good this season. Okay, or should I make my pick? See, this is the trickiest part in the draft to me, because I feel like the first pick, usually it's hard to mess up your opening pick. But these two, I have a feeling this is where I always fall apart. This is where I always make the wrong choice. And then it comes back to me and I end up with the bad teams. So I have to be careful here, Jess. This is a big decision. But I think I know who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick Christy and Jen. Oh, wait. I'm going to pick Nancy and Melissa. Now, this is a team that is a little older than your Natalie and Megan or something. But I do see some similarities here, especially with Melissa. You have two teams that have competed at the highest level of barrel racing and of the Olympics and done very well. Now, what also connects into me, it's not just that they've been in the Olympics like Christy and Jen from the US version. Christy and Jen didn't seem to know each other that well. And while at first I thought that might be something that was kind of a negative, I actually think it helped them, because when somebody got a little stressed or whatever, there wasn't all these like concerns about, Well, they've been best friends for 25 years. These two actually talk about how they knew of each other, but don't really, they respect each other for their work. And both of them are in barrel racing, but you don't get the impression that they're like best friends, which could go different ways, as we've seen when, you know, the US version had to combine the two people that didn't really know each other. But in general, it can go really well. And I feel like the only concern I had with picking them even higher is Nancy is 49, and 49 is not old. I am not that many years from there, so I don't want to overstate it. But for the Amazing Race, when you have a lot of young teams, it could be a little of a factor, but she seems to be in very good shape. So I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. They both overcome a lot. They've competed at the highest level. I feel like they're going to be laid back and cool no matter what happens. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy, Dan. I had them ranked a little bit lower on my list just because of the age thing and older women teams. Every season I go in wanting an older woman team to do really well on the race. And every season that team is practically the first team out. And I want one of these teams to come through and break the mold. And if any team is going to, this is it. But I looked at everything on paper, and you are right that not knowing each other on its face tends to look like a weakness that is usually a strength. I mean, you have only to look to Eric and Danielle to notice that if you really don't know each other that well, you're not caught up in each other's drama. And I think the Christy and Jen comparison is also very apt. I just don't know. And maybe I'm underestimating them drastically, but I just don't know if they're going to be outclassed here. There's a lot of youth, a lot of really in-your-face heroism here.
Yeah, it's a different type of season, even than the last U.S. season, where there are some real athletes here, like some of the teams we've already picked. So that is the reason that I wasn't going to pick them first. But I feel like at this zone, yeah, it's tricky because they could go out very quickly. Ugh, now you're convincing me. Maybe I shouldn't have made this pick. But I look at them and I'm like, Melissa's been a broadcaster, so she's going to be very comfortable around the camera, which can be important because you can get people that are very laid back and, you know, among those kind of situations generally do well. Nancy's overcome a lot, and I don't want to overstate that as far as a reality TV competition having to do with overcoming cancer. But they've obviously lived a lot, and I don't know. I just got a good vibe from them watching them that I felt like they would have a good chance. But to pick the oldest cast member is always a risk. But Melissa's only 37, so it's not a case where you have 49 and 48. You do have kind of a mix. So, and 37 is, you know, young by my eyes. But I don't think they're going to be fascinating TV. But again, like we've said, maybe that's sometimes helpful for the show.
And I just want to point out, you have an Olympic skeleton competitor from Alberta. I wonder how she got the attention of the show.
There's no way that she knew John. They're going to come and shake hands, you know. Well, but hey, John's got to be rooting for them, though, I would say. You know, I mean, they just need to do a task where they recreate the skeleton from his, you know, and at the end have to drink the beer, and she'll be great.
No, she'll five hole it.
That is, she'll just keep like going off the way. I don't know how you could even make someone do that. But yes, we do need opportunities for five holes, and some of these, you know, are going to be hard. I mean, Adam might get to do that firefighting challenge they did last season. You know, maybe he can mess that up. But yeah, there's not that many options, really. But I don't know, I feel okay about them as the second team, or even third if I want to flip things around, team that I have.
Yeah, I think you've definitely sold me on their strengths in a way that I hadn't been sold in the past. So I think you tend to have this team on your team every time we do this draft, Dan. So I'm not surprised.
That's not a good sign. I always pick the team that are athletic, but not in the right way. That's always my choice. So now this, I feel like right here is the hardest spot to pick, because I look at the teams remaining and there's obviously six teams left. There's a few that I'm not going to pick, but I'm having a hard time now, but there's a few that I think are going to be the most entertaining. Not going to fall for that. Not going to happen. I'm going to take another all-female team here. I'm going to take Zainab and Monica, the Navy Sailors, because I look at them as another team that could be very solid. They do know each other well. They're really athletic. One of them is super strong. And they also cite Natalie and Megan, and I think they may actually have a better chance as a female team to really do well in the physical challenges.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that, Dan. There's a little bit of a focus angle, I think, on these two. Like, they seem like they're really in it to win it. And I think that military background is not going to hurt them when it comes to having to compete very hard. Like, you have Nancy and Melissa, who are individuals who are used to competing as individuals, and I think maybe not so much as a single unit. And I think these two are going to be much better at that.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern, which both of them shared, is that Monica's hair may get in the way too much and they will be unable to compete. They both listed that as a problem, that Monica's curly big hair just keeps getting in Zainab's face. And that might be what makes the difference in them not winning.
Well, she has the most epic hair of, I think, anybody I've ever seen on this show.
Which is funny because you see the first picture and they're wearing their Navy garb and their hats. And you're like, oh, okay. And then they come out. It's like she's got this like curly big like 80s hair, which is awesome. But it's like almost a different person when you take them out of the Navy kind of look. It's impressive. And but, you know, it's interesting to note that age difference where Monica's 24. Zainab's 32, and, you know, they say they kind of have this big sister, younger sister relationship, which, you know, there have been seasons of shows, especially The Amazing Race Australia, where the big sister, younger sister kind of role can be a little much. So I hope that doesn't happen here, but I do like their mix because I feel like Monica is more energetic and likes the adrenaline and is going to want to just have fun with it. But then her partner is going to kind of ground her in that way. So I think as a team, they're going to do okay.
Yeah. I think there's a really great balance there. And I think they point out that they're not like physically huge people, but that they're in ridiculously good shape. And I think that certainly helps them as well.
Yeah. And also, you know, I just want to point out too, I mean, Monica was born in the Sudan. Zainab's parents were born in India. It's just cool. I always like in this show that the cast is usually very diverse. I mean, we may have similar character types or people, but compared to the U.S., there's always a lot of interesting relations. We don't really have the parent-child teams that we usually have, which is interesting because The Amazing Race Canada usually does that well. But there's still a lot of, like, you look at the cast, and I just like to see there are a lot of military people. But at least in terms of where they're from and their ages and their relationships, we still have a pretty good mix.
Yeah, I really love the way that Canada is so great about pointing out that they are a melting pot. And there's always somebody every season whose parents have come from another country. And they say, you know, we welcome everybody and everybody is a part of Canada. Everybody is proud to be Canadian. And I appreciate their commitment to portraying that kind of diversity in a positive light. And I think these two, they're very charming. I think they're easy contenders to be that kind of stealth, funny team that we always get. At least one of them is going to have a couple of deadpan quips that are going to slay us.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, they do mention they like Natalie and Megan because they remain professional, which I'm just like, oh, that's not what I want.
Yeah, but what show were they watching?
I don't remember that as much. I remember some puking and such. But no, I think they're going to be fun, and I'll like rooting for them. And I mean, I like also having a team where I'm not just picking like six guys or whatever, which I've done in the past. So I got a good mix here. I just hope it starts off well. And now, though, I feel like, you know, we're in that second tier of teams, at least from my rankings right now. And it's a big question of how we rank it, because I feel like you and I could be very different on these next few teams.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think my next pick will probably not surprise you, Dan, especially in light of the previous two teams that you have picked. I'm looking at what's left on the board, and I'm going to pick the all-female team that I honestly had ranked the highest. So with my next pick, I'm going to go for Leanne and Mar, the cheerleaders for the reigning Grey Cup champions, the Toronto Argos.
Yeah, no. And I think they were actually who I had next ranked. So it was like I basically had like 4, 5, 6. So they're right there. They would not be a team because, you know, sometimes in the Amazing Race, you will have a team of cheerleaders or something similar that, ring girls, where you kind of look and you're like, oh, I don't know if they're going to do that well. I don't get that situation here at all. I think they still have a very good chance. So why do you have them ranked the highest? I'm curious.
I think every time you have a team like this, and to Canada's credit, I think this is really the first time we've seen this team on Amazing Race Canada, and it took them 6 seasons to get here. So props to you, Canada. But we've seen this team on Amazing Race US a lot. It's like every other season, there are pro sports cheerleaders that come out. And I think for every set of ring girls you get, you also have a Jamie and Kara. They tend to kind of lean toward the Tiffany and Krista end of the spectrum, a team that comes on that you look at them, you underestimate them, and yet they end up surprising with their tenacity. And I really felt like both of these women are a lot more down to earth than I expected out of a team of pro sports cheerleaders. In this year of our Amazing Race 2018, you expect their "what we packed in our suitcase" video to be like, "I have my hair dryer and my flat iron because I can't go anywhere without it." And there was a little bit of that. They packed 4 eyelash wands, but eyelash wands are small, and I'm willing to overlook it because they seem like they're not going to let that kind of high maintenance personality seep into their competitive edge. And I think they seem like they're in great shape. I mean, cheerleading's not a joke. It's hard work. So they have that going for them. And I think, yeah, we might quibble on the heroes concept. Like, I guess it's a positive message. I don't think it's a controversial stance to be against bullying. And I think all of us here at Rob is a Podcast very much against bullying. So we're with you on that, Leanne and Mar. I think they're in great shape. They're young. They're fit. They seem to like each other a lot. I think they're going to go far. Like, I would not be surprised to see them in the finals, or at least, you know, last team eliminated before the finals.
Well, yeah. And they seem like, they both seem very likable. I didn't do any eye rolling. I mean, the only time I did was when, I think it was just when they said something like, you know, I almost feel like the show, asks really leading questions when you have people saying, we're going to prove that we're not like how cheerleaders usually are. And that, so I don't really fault the teams too strongly there. I mean, we want to redefine what it means to be a cheerleader. Okay. But I look at them and I read a pretty long article about Leanne's high school experience, and it sounded like she had a rough time. So I feel like as I learn more about them, even with them being into anti-bullying programs, it doesn't seem like something that they are just doing because, well, this is something we do as a cheerleader for the Argos. There's a personal connection there, and that type of, even her experiences, obviously, I only read a small article. I'm not an expert, but that does create more resilience where they're not going to fold or just be like, oh, we're just here to show up for a few minutes. So I think you convinced me. I would not be shocked to see them do well. And I don't have a problem with it either. I hope they do.
I think after you survived like several years of hostile seventh graders trying to make you miserable, I think you can get through pretty much anything.
Yeah, I mean, the Amazing Race is easy. You know, she's like basically said she for like 4 years, it was just rough. I mean, it's not good. So yeah, that's going to they seem likable. I'll probably be rooting for them anyway, but this makes it even, you know, knowing a little more about them, it makes it a lot easier to think that way. So yeah, I think it's a solid pick, and you are going to be probably correct.
They don't strike me as the kind of girls, like, you don't hear them say anything about we're going to use our good looks and flirt our way to the end, which is the other thing you frequently get from this team in any other season. So I think they're really in it to run the race. They're not in it for necessarily the exposure or to fill a token slot. So I think I'm happy to see a team of cheerleaders. We could get a little bit of, I know, Dan, you just finished watching Amazing Race Australia season 2. We could get a little bit of a Michelle and Joe vibe from them.
Yeah, yeah. Australia too has some really strong female teams that, again, seem like they would be more like this. And we're not. So if we're even anywhere near the level on some of those teams, we're in good shape here. And I hope that's the case, because there were a few teams I was rooting for that came very close in the 2 seasons of Australia that I've watched.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of Australia too, it kind of informs my next pick, because I've kind of decided, like, I've picked all the teams that I think have a real honest shot of making it far. Like, you look at these teams on paper, I think, like, we've got the top 6 on our board. Like, these are I think the finalists are going to consist of the teams we've already picked. So I can start to get a little sentimental, and I can pick a team that I don't necessarily think they're going to win at all, but they're going to be so much fun for however long they're there. So we're going to be rooting for them to be there for a very long time. And so with my next pick, I'm going to go with Martina and Phil.
Yeah. That is, they made me laugh. And I think they're going to be the fun team of the season. I will say I had them ranked last, but begrudgingly so, because I look at them and I'm like, this is a team I want to see be on the show for a long time, because they're just a blast and they have a fun relationship. So I'm excited to hear more.
Yeah, I mean, they're really the Lucy and Amelia of this bunch, if we want to go back to the well of a season that 99% of our listeners have not seen. But they are a team that look like they should be the first out, and I don't think they're going to be the first out. I think they have such great energy. Martina especially, she is out of control. I don't think I've seen anyone with this much energy, and that is including Team Fun. I just kind of loved watching her like just bounce off the walls and just watch Phil kind of tolerating it. It's fantastic. Like, I wish she was my home economics teacher.
Well, you know, her nickname is the Energizer Bunny. And the video, she's just like punching and just like doing all this weird stuff. And it's just, you look at it and you're like, oh my goodness. I could talk about Lucy and Amelia for about 2 hours here, but I do see it. If we're going to look at the teams remaining, what is the team that's just going to enjoy themselves so much? And every season, I feel like we have a team. You get to like top five, and I'm like, this team is probably not. I wish they'd make the final three. And every once in a while, they do. But not that, you know, Brent and Sean, for instance, you know, is a good example. But I would love to see it happen. I hope you're right, notwithstanding a draft or anything like that. They're fun, and they just have a cool energy. And that's the thing. Within a hero season, I mean, they've done some great things. So it's not, you know, volunteered 10,000 hours around the world, and they're well traveled. Interesting. But also, you've got to have teams like this. You cannot have teams of just first responders that talk like this. You need some excitement, and I think they're going to bring it. I hope you're right.
You remember back when we were leaving Frankie and Amy undrafted because we assumed they would be the first team out, and we just kind of, it was this unspoken thing like, yeah, these people are not cut out to race, and they end up making the final five. Like, this is a team I want to see be that team. I want them to defy every expectation just because they're just going to be like, they're here for the experience. They're maybe not here for the $250,000, but their team motto is have a fun.
I read that. I'm like, is that a typo? It's like, no, I've watched the videos. Yeah, I think they did that on purpose. But yeah, I mean, you look at the remaining teams and it's kind of get to a situation where like, I want to root for that team. Not that there's anyone left that I'm like, I don't want to root for them. But I look at them and I'm like, that's a fun team to have in your group. And while I can keep all the boring teams, you get to have the fun ones.
Yeah, they're going to have multiple funds.
Team a fun. But all right. So there's three left. I get two of them, and man, it's a hard decision. I've got them ranked, but I almost don't want to pick the team that I have the rank the highest, because then I'll have a really old group. So I don't know if I want to go that way anyway, but there's one team that when I saw them, I thought, these guys seem fun. Not to overuse the word fun here, we just keep saying, but these guys seem cool. I'd like to have them on my team. And so that's what I'm going to go with right now. So I am going to pick Joseph and Akash, who are the friends and volunteers. They just seem to be a lot of fun. And I don't know, they've known each other for 10 years. They traveled to 20 countries. They've gone all over the place. They just seem to be positive guys. They call themselves super fans, which that's a good thing. I like that. I like the root. Again, this is kind of similar to your last pick. These guys are 23 and 22. Do I think they're going to win? No. But I look at them and I'm like, you got these young guys who are going to run around the race just being like, they're not super athletic, especially on this cast. But I just get the impression they actually list the teams that they are most like as Mickey and Pete and Team Giver, which I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But they don't really seem like those teams. They seem like they're just going to have fun on the show. And I have written in my notes, not going to win. But I think we're going to see some fun moments from these guys.
Yeah, I think Team Shorts Over Tights is the second most fun team on the board, for sure. There are a couple of things that jumped out at me over the course of preparing to do this podcast. And one of those is that I don't think they are collectively super fans. I think Joseph is the super fan. And I think Akash is kind of along for the ride. And you see this a lot on The Amazing Race, where you have a team where one person is really super into it and one person is there because that person needs a teammate. And I think that's what we're looking at here. Joseph is at least peripherally aware of us as podcasters, because the way I found out that the cast had dropped, I was kind of not paying attention. I go to my Instagram and a guy that's following me on Instagram that I followed back is like, "Hey, look at me. I'm on Amazing Race Canada." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess I have a rooting interest now," because he's kind of one of us. So that's kind of fun. But in all of their videos, he's the one that seems like really super excited to be there. And he said, like, "I've always wanted to do this and I had to convince my friend to be on there with me." And that sometimes can hold you back when one of you really wants to be there and one of you really wants to be supportive. It could be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. But I think the comparisons to Team Giver and Mickey and Pete, I think that's going to be apt. I think I don't see them going as far as either of those teams.
No. And but I will say, Joseph, if you're listening, I believe in you. I think you can do it. In the past, you could have won this race. So I think it can happen. But I picked you because I thought you're going to win. Forget what I just said a few minutes ago. No, but seriously, I don't know. I like their story. You know, they're so young. They've already started multiple nonprofits, traveling the world, doing great stuff. They're going to have fun. But I think you're right, because Joseph was the one on the video I watched that said, "We're super fans." But, you know, there's a lot of people that call themselves super fans. I mean, I think he is. But kind of collectively, I guess, you know, he could be the fan for the whole group. But I don't know. It'll be interesting, because, again, we kind of look at the last two teams you and I have picked. One of those two teams is probably going to go out first or second. One of those two is probably going to be like in the top four or five. Yours might be more likely, but that's kind of how it goes with teams like this. I would love it if all the fun teams made the finals, but we're going to get some of them. It's just which one is going to make it.
Yeah, but there always is that one. Like, I don't see these being the first and second teams out. Like, something else is going to happen. And it's just a matter, like, I think the fun part of the ride is seeing what that thing is that happens. And it could be one of these teams going ridiculously far, and I'd be happy with either one of them doing it. And I think as super fans, or, you know, super fan plus one, I think they've trained very hard. They have studied up. They've listed out the mistakes that people make, and they're going to strive really hard to avoid them. And I think physically, where they didn't start out with the best raw material in this bunch, they've trained hard, and they're not going to be surprised by anything that comes at them, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be prepped, especially if you have one super fan, even if he has to drag the other one to get ready. There's at least one more super fan than some of these teams. So I think they can make a difference. All right. So my last pick here, I'm torn, because I look at one team, Todd and Anna. They are very young. They look like they're going to have fun. I don't see them going that far. But then I look at the oldest team on the race and I go, do I want to have the three oldest players on the show? I'm going to say yes. So I'm going to go with Chewy and Happy. Now, okay, sorry, Corey and Mark, if we will. But I don't think that's the last time you're going to hear those names on the show. So you got the guys whose anthem is the Top Gun anthem. They've known each other forever. They met 25 years ago. They're both retired Air Force pilots. The show, if they don't last long, the show's going to show them a lot, because, you know, they're heroes. You know, they've gone to Afghanistan. They're with the, you know, the Air Force. They're pilots. I don't think they're going to win, but I look at it and I'm like, these guys are going to be goofy. They're going to be big characters. Why not? Last pick. Let's take a shot. My big question for you, Justin, was this the team ranked 10th on your board?
This was not the team ranked 10th on the board. This is actually, I ranked this team fairly high, because I thought there's an unflappability that comes with these two that I think makes them very well suited for this competition. Even if they, by their own admission, are not the most athletic, I think they're better off than some of the other teams. I don't think they're the least athletic team on the board. And I think they seem to know the show pretty well. I do think they're going to do okay. I definitely don't have them winning, but I didn't have them going out anywhere near first.
Well, that's good. Yeah, because I had them ranked seventh, but then I kind of was like, well, do I, you know, what do I do here? But I think, you know, we see teams, I mean, they're older. But again, they're not 65. I mean, you know, it's like they're military guys. They might not be in the shape they were in before they retired, but they're probably still they're going to be OK. And I, yeah, like you said, they're going to be they're not going to be easily freaked out by something. So, I mean, you know, you got Chewy and Happy. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a team with nicknames that can go both ways, as you know? But I don't know. I think they'll be fun.
Yeah, well, Happy has got to be derived from Happy Gilmore because he does look a bit like Adam Sandler. I'm not wrong, right?
No, I think that's true. And Chewie, you know, he's got a beard, so I guess that's an easy thing. You can go with the Chewbacca thing. But yeah, Happy, he's got an Adam Sandler look, even like in the picture they're showing. He's kind of making a smile, like, not to overanalyze it. I haven't done the side-by-side comparison. I didn't go watch Happy Gilmore to research this podcast. But I do see the comparisons, and I don't know. I just didn't want to have a team. I don't want to be hashtag team boring. And so I started that way. Near the end is where you just kind of throw darts at the wall.
Well, yeah, that's the rationale behind my last pick. And I think at this point, this is where you just pick the teams that you think are going to have the best time. And these guys are definitely here for a good time. And I think they're going to have the good time. Although, you know, there might be, I got a little bit of an Art and JJ vibe from them. I think they're much more agreeable and a little bit less antagonistic, but I think they bring that kind of same intensity that comes with, you know, a years long career in a military adjacent field that I think they could surprise us with how well they do.
Yeah, and all, yeah, because they're going to be competitive. These are guys who are, you know, if you're a pilot in the military, you have to compete with other people to, you know, reach the level that you're reaching. And I know that was about the lamest way to describe it ever, but you know, you've seen Top Gun. It's tough. You know, you've got to fight it out. There's competitors trying to take your spot. So yeah. That is their theme. So I didn't pull that out of left field.
Yeah, no. And aren't the Snowbirds like the Blue Angels of Canada?
I think so. I'm not an expert, but they, you know, they did work for that. And these guys haven't been pilots for 5 years. I mean, this is most of their lives since they were very young. So I'm trying to do the math and how they each have 60 years of flying experience between them. That means they both started flying really, you know, we're talking like 16, 17 or something. And, you know, I don't know what they're counting as flying, but regardless, these guys are used to pressure situations and they may take it more seriously. Even though they're going to have fun, they may take the race a little more seriously because they're from they have that kind of competitive background. So I'm feeling better about this. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I don't think there's a bad pick on the board. Like, I think everybody has a shot to not be last.
Which was not the case last season, so, you know, at least from what we saw. So, yeah, I mean, we've been wrong before, too. Yeah, we've been wrong. Like you said, with Frankie and Amy, they were the similar boat and they were, you know, like fifth place and really competed strong. It wasn't like a fluke. So, but I don't look at anyone, like I said, the last few choices, I'm like, I could go a lot of different directions and feel fine with it. I do think there's a top tier, but that says that they've cast, I mean, we'll see how much fun it is, but they've cast a well-balanced group of people.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think with the final pick on the board, I think it's very worth pointing out. I don't think either you or I feel like this team has the potential to be the first team out or even the second team out. I think this team's going to last solidly into the middle of the race, but we kind of reached a point where we're just kind of picking, like, we've got a pool to choose from. And I think this team's going to do well. I don't know how they wound up at the bottom of the board, except that we were just kind of picking the teams that were the most bonkers. And this team is many things, but bonkers is not one of them. Let's talk about Todd and Anna, the 24-year-old dating couple.
Yeah, I mean, Todd is a cancer survivor from 3 years old and obviously has had, you know, I mean, that's not that he remembers probably when he was three, but that's definitely had an impact on his life and seems to be, you know, a really cool person and pretty athletic. And I like their relationship a lot. I think she seems very nice and likable, and he's more the reserve kind of laid back guy, which can work well. And I look at them and there's nothing about them that's, I think, says, oh, there's some, you know, they're not going to do well or whatnot. But like you said, I just don't look at this team as going to be a finalist. And I think that's kind of where it is when you're picking. One is about who we think is going to be fun. And I don't mean to pick on them because I think they seem like really nice, cool people. They're not the most boring team on the cast, but I see like there's a ceiling. I look at this team. They seem really young. I know that they're 24, but they seem even younger. And maybe just in terms of how the race goes. And I look at them and I'm like, I could see them finishing sixth. I'm not sure I could see them finishing second. And that was why I kind of hesitated a bit. And also, you know, so it's one of those things where they're strong. They were the male and female athletes of the year at their school. I don't really know what that means, but that means that, you know, they obviously are athletic. And they may be underestimated by other teams because they're not like these like 6'8" beefy people. So you never know.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, they're not pro athletes, but they definitely, they have that athletic background and they've known each other for a very long time. I think that helps. And I think it's worth noting, like, we always kind of, we have this young dating couple on many seasons of The Amazing Race, and we look at them and we think, oh, they're very young. They're very inexperienced. They haven't seen the world. And more often than not, that very young team has stamina that their older counterparts don't. And I think we could see that out of the two of them, especially given that they have this athletic background combined with that. And I do think they are maybe outclassed by some of these people in the experience department, but I wouldn't count them out. I could see them. Like you, I don't see them making the finals. I could see them going to the final four even. And I think they'll probably be even more entertaining than we might be giving them credit for right now.
Yeah, and I do have in my notes that they seem kind of dorky. And I mean that in a really good way. I mean it like they seem like almost like, how do we get on this show? This is crazy. And I like teams that do that. I don't like it when a team comes in and they're like, yep, we're on the show. We deserve it. We're awesome. I like when teams are kind of like especially these with Anna, where it's like she's just like in the videos just seems pumped to be there and is just like, this is going to be cool. And I think teams like that, and I have a feeling they're going to keep that throughout the show, are that just they get to do crazy things like go skydiving or go around the world, are going to have fun with it. So while they were the last pick, I don't want them to go out first. I hope they do well. I just, you know, it's one of those things where that says something about the cast. I could have picked them several picks earlier, or, you know, we didn't. So I think they're going to be good.
Yeah. I think they just sort of got lost in the shuffle without a big personality point to give us something to hold on to. They just kind of fell to the bottom of our rankings through no fault of their own. But you're right. There's a little bit of a dorkableness to them, maybe in a Julian Lowell type vein. There's a point in one of their videos where they are dancing with each other and they are just about the worst dancers I've ever seen in my life. And it's so endearing. And they look like they're really there to have a lot of fun. I think they're going to be positive no matter what gets thrown at them. So I'm going to be happy to see them go far. Like, there's no team here that I really look at and think, yeah, they have no business being here. They should be out first. And I guess in a season full of heroes, you shouldn't have a team like that.
Yeah, you don't want to have a team that is just like, they're heroic and they're going to do terrible. I mean, someone might do poorly, but they don't stand out as obvious. You know, to seasoned Amazing Race experts like ourselves, Jess, that no one is standing out as obvious. We both had similar, I think, overall kind of rankings, but it wasn't like, so, I mean, I could write them up tomorrow and change it completely. So, and yeah. I didn't even really go by them. So that's good. But I'm excited that the season's coming up so soon because it's going to be fun to actually see how wrong we are and see what, because the videos don't tell you much.
CTV is sitting on something, and I don't know if they're just hiding that it's a boring season or if they're hiding that it's really super cool. They just don't want you to get spoiled. We're hoping for the latter, and I think we're going to have a good time no matter what, because, you know, even when Amazing Race is bad, as long as it's not season 24 bad, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and we've lucked out because, I mean, I feel like all three seasons we've podcast about together have been good. I think four was especially good. Last season was fun. Three was okay, but none of them have been bad. And I suspect that at least this one will reach, you know, the bar set by, will be on par with one of those seasons, you know, if not the best, I hope, you know, there's, you know, just because it seemed like, you know, that last season people started to wonder, oh, are we still on that same level? But there were still some really great episodes last season. I can't name you which one because my brain is getting tired, but I will say that I suspect it's going to be the same way this time. I mean, you got everything's in place. I don't, even with this theme we have this time, I don't feel like this is something where the show is just going to jump off the rails and do something crazy to get ratings or change something up too much. I have a feeling we're still in store for something great. And if not, we'll just complain a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, what's more fun than complaining?
Yes, there's nothing more fun than talking about how bad the show is. Now, my concern is we have no giver count or anything on that level. So we'll have to keep an eye out for fun things to track as the year goes along.
Yeah, for all the complaining I did about Team Giver and how I hate gimmick teams, it was sure fun to keep the running count of givers every episode. And without a team that has that kind of hook to hang it on, I mean, I guess maybe there's going to be a gimmick like that and it just hasn't presented itself to us yet. Maybe that's the big thing that CTV is sitting on. I think we'll find out, but I'm not disappointed with this cast. This seems like a really fun bunch of people that are going to have a good time out there, and I think we will have a good time watching them.
Yes, it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So, and I'm really looking forward to my team finally claiming victory. I don't really know how to measure it, but someone who's listening, help me out. And I guess we need hashtags for our team, though, right?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Well, I have one for mine, if you're good with it, which I could go. I have hashtag team older than Dan. I don't know if you like that, but that's what I was thinking.
I thought you were probably going to go that way once you once you talked about drafting the three oldest people on the board. I think that's a fair hashtag. And to recap, team older than Dan consists of Courtney and Adam, Nancy and Melissa, Zainab and Monica, Joseph and Akash, and Chewy and Happy. And it's a good bunch, Dan, I think, even though most of them are not, in fact, older than you.
Yes, but the only three options that could be are all on my team. So I'm feeling good about that. So that's the important part.
Yeah, they're also the only three people that are older than me. So there's that too. Oh, actually, not true. I have Martina. She's older than me.
Yes. You are a youngster. Not at all. I was surprised. All right.
Yes. And again, they don't post their ages anywhere on the website. It took a little bit of digging. Thanks to RFF for collating this information for us. But and so my team, consisting of Dylan and Kwame, Taylor and Courtney, Leanne and Mar, Martina and Phil, and Todd and Anna, I'm going with hashtag team funner.
Ah, team funner. Are you saying your team is more fun than mine? I mean, besides Adam, are you saying it's true? The good thing is one more complaint. Do we need to have two people named Courtney? We need one of those teams to get eliminated early, or else we're just going to be too confused.
Or we just need one of them to pronounce her name slightly differently, like we had an Andrea and an Andrea.
That is true.
We need a Courtney and a Courtney.
So keep an eye out for that. Or we're going to end up being like, I guess we do just name them with their partner, so that makes it easier. But that seems like a lot of work. Come on, show. Let's make this easier.
Yeah. Well, there's Nurse Courtney and Mountie Courtney. So
Courtney C and Courtney B. Sure. That helps a lot. All right. Well, this is going to be good.
It's going to be good. And I want to just throw out an administrative note here. If you've somehow gotten to the end of this podcast and still have no idea how you are going to be watching The Amazing Race Canada, given that you yourself are not in Canada. Many of you are. Some of you are not. And some of you may be wondering, how do I get access to watch these programs? And the easiest way to do that is to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. People in the patron community are always sharing their links and their other strategies for accessing the show. And it also gives you a lot of other cool perks. You should check us out on robhaspodcast.com/Patreon to learn out more about what is available to you as a patron of the podcast. So Dan and I will be back probably at the latest. You'll be hearing from us the weekend after these programs air, because we still have to track them down, given that we ourselves are not Canadian, and more's the pity. But we will do our best to get our recaps out the door as fast as possible so that we could hear from you. And we always love getting your feedback on any of the podcasts we do. So you can reach out to us in the comments section on robhasawebsite.com, or you can tweet at us anytime, and you can tweet at me at Haymaker Hattie.
And I am at the Dan Heaton. And once the episode is aired, you can just tweet us questions that you would like us to answer on the podcast, and we will definitely try to answer them. So please do that once you've seen the episode. Don't worry about spoiling us. I won't read them too closely until after I see it.
Yeah. I mean, assume we're watching it live, even though we're mostly not. So with all of that, I want to thank you, Dan, for coming along with me for yet another summer of Canadian fun and games. And I want to thank all the listeners, and we will see you. Amazing Race Canada premieres July 3rd. We will see you again shortly thereafter as we recap episode 1.